Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Cruise. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with a gentleman that I met just this past summer, but he is into the golf world. And when I mean the golf world, I mean the virtual golf world as well as the regular golf world as well. And I have with me today my guest, John Loomis. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. And now you chose and another New Glarus beer. So if you're listening and you're an avid listener, you'll know a few weeks ago we just had New Glarus Moon Man on, but today I would call it their staple beer.
Right, yep.
Spotted Cow. And everyone says you can't go wrong with it, but the only way you can get it is if you go across the border.
Right.
And I had
I had to travel.
I had to travel a little bit. I had to go over the bridge about 1 mile and get it. But no big deal. I had one person on TikTok. They noticed when I had my last TikTok out, they said, oh, someone had to cross borders with their beer because they noticed that my podcast is out of Minnesota. And I said, yeah, Smokey and Bandit it, that situation.
Yep.
So anyways, let's crack a beer.
Sounds good.
And there's one for you. And I got an opener right here for us. There you go.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
That's an easy beer.
Yep. Probably should have the label face on the camera, right? So
hopefully New Glarus will. Hey, if you guys want to sponsor, contact me. We're all good. But this is, I would consider this New Glarus' just staple beer that everyone knows.
Right.
So you chose this beer. Is it just your absolute favorite or is just one that came to mind that?
Well, that's a good one. My grandma got me onto this one. She, my grandma was 97 when she passed away, but she lived in Madison. And I lived in Arizona for the longest time. And every time I come back to visit, she'd have this in her fridge.
Really?
So she kind of hooked me onto it. And ever since then, it's been like, man, this is a good beer. And now that it's so close, I can get it anytime I want it.
That's right. And I mean, for those who have listened, you know that we are right on Winona, Minnesota, which is on the Mississippi River border, right next to Wisconsin. So we can just hop across the border, grab a six pack or a 12 pack or whatever you want, and we can crack it anytime. And a lot of people like this because it is very easy. I think it's I don't know what kind of beer it is, if it's a lager or if it's just an ale. No, it's an ale. It's a farmhouse ale. These ones are so smooth. They taste like a lager to me. So I really appreciate this because I like IPAs mostly for the most part.
Right.
But this one is easy for everyone to drink, I think. Even if you're not an avid beer drinker and you don't like the hoppy stuff, this is simple, I think.
Yeah, it's a go-to beer for me.
So you said that you're from Arizona or you lived in Arizona?
Well, I was born in Colorado, but okay. lived the majority of my life in Arizona. I spent 25 years there.
Sure.
Went to school at Arizona State University and basically just stayed there for 25 years and just moved out to Minnesota five years ago.
So you're a Sun Devil.
Sun Devil, yep.
And I was literally there just last week. From right now when this is being recorded, I was there 3 days ago. Okay. And I checked out a few breweries over there.
Well, I saw your Facebook post here the other day. I saw you with a Four Peaks sweatshirt on. So if I had known you were coming back from Arizona, would I have picked up a Four Peaks kilt lifter?
Yes.
Have you had that one?
No. I bought a four pack. It was for my mother-in-law and her boyfriend. And I'm not. I didn't even try that one. All I had was basically the Bad Birdie Juicy Ale because I'm a Bad Birdie fan, if you can't tell. And then I had there was a hop one. It was called Hop Something. And then I had another one called Desert Drifter, I think, and that was a hazy IPA. Right. But I never, ever drank the Kilt Lifter. However, I think they're going to bring it back for me because I left the beer there and I couldn't take it on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
So I think what they're going to do is anything that they had left over, they're just going to put it in a cooler and bring it back. So Kilt Lifter, you're saying, is good.
Yep, that's the go-to. My go-to Arizona Four Peaks Brewery beer.
Is that, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, was that an amber?
Yeah, it's a darker amber.
So my dad likes those.
Oh, yeah.
And so hopefully they bring it back because then I'll have to get it and give it to him because he loves amber lagers. Not so much the ales, but amber lagers, his go-to beer for sure. So, yeah, I was just down there. And you know what I found really crazy? And it was actually interesting. Their football stadium is literally between like a hill.
Yeah, Two Buttes, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, your Buttes, yep. And it was... The stadium itself was a lot larger. It was about 70,000. And so, backstory, so Arizona State played there. And then the Cardinals were in St. Louis, Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
And they came back and moved to Arizona in the 1990s. I think it was, and they ended up playing at that stadium and before their stadium that they have now way out in Glendale.
Really?
Was built. And then recently, probably 5-10 years ago, they basically didn't really demolish the whole thing, but they cut out sections of that stadium.
Sure.
So they revamped it, remodeled it, and it's now it seats like 40,000-45,000.
Okay. And that was interesting because I'm driving along and I'm like, look over and go, there's a stadium, and I knew I was by Arizona State, but I go, well, there's like a hill next to it and a hill in front of it. And I was just confused
right.
as to how the stadium was there. But
and A Mountain. You see the big A on top of the
– I did not see that.
So no. Just if you're on the south side of the stadium, looking to the left, there's a A on the mountain.
Okay.
It's painted gold for Sun Devils.
That's cool.
And then there's a big rivalry between the University of Arizona and the Wildcats. We won't talk about them. but they – during the big rivalry week, they'll come up and try and paint the A.
Really?
Blue or red or whatever their colors
no,
are.
No, I suppose.
Want to do it. And, but we,
because they're in Tucson,
they're
right?
They're in Tucson, which yeah. is about an hour and a half
okay,
south of Phoenix.
That's pretty close. And the other thing I noticed was, I believe, Rob Gronkowski went there, right?
He went to Arizona.
He went to Arizona. I yep. thought he was a Sun Devil.
So Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman, there you go.
Jake Plummer, and then Barry Bonds. Or Barry Bonds, this baseball player.
Yeah. Okay. So were you around during any of those people?
So I went to college, and in 1996 was when I was started at ASU, and that's when Pat Tillman and Jake Plummer were there. That was the year sure. ASU went to the Rose Bowl.
Wow.
So in that year that we had season tickets, obviously being a student, so the big claim to fame is ASU beat Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
19-0. And Nebraska was always, you know, the championship team and the
yep.
team to beat in the
yep.
in the 90s. And they were undefeated for so long, and ASU went in and basically shut them out 19-0.
Okay.
So it was one of the guys that helped, you know, rush the field and, you know, climb the – not a clinical post, but went down to the field and rushed the field and got a piece of the net that was back behind
awesome.
The stadium or the goal post. So
that's really cool. So did now you went to college there, and then you said you lived there too. Did you live in the same area?
Yeah. So Tempe is right in the middle of
yep.
you know Phoenix, and
I was at some breweries
right
there too.
Yep. So, lived in the Mesa, Tempe, Chandler area, just basically all over that central Phoenix area. That's kind of where I lived. And
that's crazy that now I was just there last week and now you're on the podcast this week. And I was literally in the area where you lived. Yep. I was specifically, I was in Apache Junction.
Okay.
Because
we were far from there.
Nope. And we would have to drive right through Mesa. And the one thing I noticed, as big as the city is, or all those cities combined are, is that the traffic flowed really well. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, except for rush hour traffic. But for the most part, it's the system in Arizona is really simple as far as the roads are all north, south, east, west.
Yeah.
Grid style and the highway that kind of goes through it.
That was one thing I told my wife. I said, this is like a grid system. It's pretty simple. It's like this one, Highway 60 just goes east and west. That's very
yep.
simple. And then you just got to figure out when you want to go north because we went to Scottsdale as well.
Yep. So loop 202 or loop 101.
Well, 202 is the one that we took a couple times. And then the 101, I saw that one as well as I was going. So
yeah,
it's really cool that I was actually where you used to live.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that must be where obviously your love of golf comes from, is being living in Arizona.
Yeah, living in Arizona, playing golf. I mean, I played baseball in high school. Well, up until freshman year, and then I started playing golf, but that was in a different state, but moved to Arizona in college, and that's really when I got my passion for golf was playing
sure.
out there.
Yeah, and I looked at the map, and it's just golf course here, golf course there, everywhere. Literally at the – we were at like a park model place. It was called Roadhaven, and that's where my wife's grandpa had a place, and then it got passed down generations. Well, they even had a little small par 3 course within that area.
Yep.
So I feel like any place you can get green grass, you got a golf course in Arizona because you can
yep.
pretty much do it all year long.
Yeah, that's it. That's kind of what brought me – well, what brought on the Island City Golf Garage thing, but we can get that later. But
yeah, we're going to get to that. So you picked up golf, and obviously down there you can play it pretty much all year long.
Play it all year round, yeah.
And here – In our state of Minnesota, you have from X, which could be February like it was this past year,
right.
all the way up until could be November. But then
right now,
you
yeah.
have those kind of, I wouldn't say blackout months. They're more of whiteout months.
Right.
But we got those. And now you have created a business within our town that we have never had. And it's indoor golf simulation. And
right.
we can fully golf indoors now in Minnesota.
That's right.
Okay, I have so many questions about this, and I'm going to try to keep it to that hour-ish.
Okay.
Because I just have so many. The first day I went there, which was yesterday, you invited me over just to try it out, and I thought, yeah, I'm obviously want to try that because I heard buddies of mine go there last year when you first had started up leagues. And I said, that sounds interesting. And I'm always very busy. But then I met you at a golf tournament just this past summer. And I said, you'd be great on the podcast. This is awesome. And this podcast has turned into a lot of golfers coming on. I didn't realize how many friends I had that just absolutely are passionate about it. And I had some friends say, tell me a little bit about that. I go, you got to listen to the podcast. And then you'll hear about what it's all about, how it works and things of that nature. So how did you decide, hey, I want to start up a golf simulator business? And is this your full job, I guess?
Or? So no, I have... My full-time job is working at Hy-Vee. I manage the wine and spirit store in Hy-Vee. So moving to Minnesota, like we talked about earlier, my golf game in Arizona, I can play year-round.
Yep.
So my first round out here after experiencing a winter in Minnesota, the first round was just brutal. And, you know, it takes you about a month to get back in the shape of things or swing of things again. I wanted to do an indoor golf business. I've kind of wanted to do this for a while since I've been out here, but didn't have the space to put it in. My wife owns ATM Gymnastics, and she was at a spot just down the street here from you on Lafayette and 3rd.
Yep.
Just behind Jovi Rocky's place. So she outgrew her space, and we were looking for a spot for her to expand her business. And we happened upon Fred's Auto Body. You're familiar with Fred's Auto Body?
I'm familiar, yep.
So Fred was retiring, and we ended up purchasing his building, and his building had two buildings, his big main body shop, was right there in the front, the building you saw first when he came in. And then we have a second garage back in the back where his paint booth was. He had two big, huge paint booths in there. So basically, now that we had her business and we had this extra garage, like, man, shoot, now I got, you know, a spot for my passion to come to life.
Yep.
So just did some, you know, talking some numbers, crunching some numbers with my dad, and kind of made it work.
Perfect. Now, are your parents from this area?
No, my parents live in Colorado.
They live in Colorado.
So, yeah, well, you were in Arizona. I was in Colorado because I just got back last week.
Oh, sure. So. Okay. Did you have nice weather there too?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, you got a garage. And in Minnesota, it gets quite cold. I noticed when I was there yesterday, it's heated. Did you have to install the heater or was it already there?
No, it was already there. So, Fred's, okay. That was Fred's paint booth. So, or paint garage, I guess.
Sure.
So, he had two big, huge paint booths, you know, 20 feet long by 12 feet wide. You can drive the car in, close the doors, and paint them. So he had this elaborate fire suppression system hooked up to to each paint booth. And obviously he had to have that heated because if the power went out and, something happened to his paint, then he'd probably lose $1,000 or whatever. The heating system was already there, and I didn't have to do anything with that. And when that thing kicks on in the wintertime, though, oh, my gosh, it's like Arizona in the summertime. It's like 100 degrees in there, but it's.
Yeah. So when it becomes winter, how hot or cold do you keep it in there, or how warm do you keep it?
So in January, when we first opened, I set it for like 65, 70 degrees.
Okay.
But when that thing kicks on, you stand right in front of it, and it's like a blast of desert air coming out.
Sure.
But then it kicks off, and it just stays warm in there for quite some time, and it's insulated and...
Okay. Now, it was so cool going in there yesterday. You have two simulators, so you can have up to about 8 people playing at once.
The two simulators are right there, and basically where those simulators are where his paint booths were.
Yep.
So okay. I had grand thoughts of how cool it would be to, you know, the garage-themed simulator, to have it inside the paint booths, but then the logistics of having to hang and all the stuff and figure out, you know, how to make it work wasn't quite there. But we ended up selling the booths, but... Yeah, so put those simulators right there.
Sure.
And they can accommodate, you can accommodate as many as you want, but we say probably up to 6 per bay.
Okay, so you could actually have 12 people all at once.
Yeah.
So unlike a regular golf course where you have foursomes, you could actually have up to about a 6-some.
Yeah, and the typical round of golf, so they say it's 1 hour for 18 holes per player.
Okay.
So if you just came in by yourself and want to play 18 holes, you can swing through in 1 hour.
Okay.
But if you and your buddy want to come and play 9 holes or play 18 holes, it'll be about 2 hours.
All right.
And so 4 for foursome, et cetera. So.
Well, that's awesome because you can cram a whole bunch of people in there all at once.
Yeah, we just hosted a party here not too long ago, too. So we are able to host parties. And we had a Culligan Water came over and did one of their employees had a 30-year anniversary for being employed there. So they're right down the street from us. They're down just past us. And they called me up and said, hey, can we have a party at your shop there? I said, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So
they had about 15 to 20 people that came in.
And did they all golf?
Not all golf.
Okay.
There's some of them weren't golfers, which is fine. But we have the tables, as you saw, so they can sit at the tables and have food. And
sure.
We don't have food, but you can bring in your own food and bring your own beer, that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, and yesterday when I was there, I noticed you have a putting green there as well to kind of do some putting.
Yep.
And then you have the two simulators, which can hold up to six. And you can have parties there, which is even cooler. The one thing I noticed, though, and I was wondering how it would work. You have multiple people playing. And, you know, when you're playing golf, you want a quiet in your backswing.
Right.
However, when I was there, that was the last thing in my mind, was wondering what the people behind me were doing.
Right.
And for some reason, mentally, my mind just blocked it out, where I didn't care if I heard a ball smashing into the screen or whatever it was. And I don't know if that's just normal or what it is, because there's just so much action going around. You just consistently have noise going. And obviously when you're on a golf course, if you have one thing happen, it's like, what happened? And then you swing through and chunk it or whatever.
Yeah, I think you're there with you were there with your friends or whomever, and you're having a good time, and you're focusing on having fun and playing your round of golf. You're not really worried about what's going on around you. Whereas, like you said, if you are playing golf out on the golf course, on the grass, I mean, you hear little things, or it's the quiet sign you're thinking of being held up. But inside there is totally different. It's just a different atmosphere, and you're just focused on having fun. And
yeah, and so the whole reason you came up with this, because your golf game basically took a toll the first month-ish in Minnesota. Yeah. So you said, hey, what better way to compensate for this than to have a golf simulator and keep your swing going through those dark months, I guess you would call them.
Right.
And so how did you decide, and are there multiple different simulators out there? Because I am assuming there's a market full of simulators, and you chose one for a certain reason.
Yeah. So there are, it took some research to go through and look at the ones and the styles I wanted, but there are several that range from, $1,000 all the way up to like $100,000.
Holy cow.
And I'm not going to spend that kind of money on, simulators, but I mean, mine were pretty pricey to begin with anyways, but
sure.
I wanted something knowing that there's lefties and righties, and I wanted something that was above the person golfing. And that was up out of the way from getting any kind of, balls ricocheted back at it, or some clubs hitting it, or getting trampled on for whatever reason. This was up above, and it was universal, so it doesn't matter if you're left or right. If you're a lefty, you don't have to go and switch the launch monitor to the other side of the person swinging. So this is all right up there. It's all easy to track and easy to do. It's like nothing.
So a lefty can go up and not have to touch a thing. It just knows they're left-handed by their swing follow-through.
Yep.
Wow, that's actually pretty nice. And the one thing I noticed yesterday is after each swing, it shows you literally a breakdown of your swing to things that I didn't even know what it was talking about.
Right, and I'm still trying to figure all those things out too. So,
okay, so what are some of the main things that as you follow through, you hit your shot, what is it bringing up? What is it showing on the screen then specifically?
Yep, so basically when you're teeing up your ball, you look down the number one fairway, and yesterday we played, I forgot the course we played already.
Somewhere in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, of course in Utah. So we, so I teed up on the first hole and striped one down the middle. Well, you did, and it was about 300 yards. So nice shot there.
Thank you.
But after each swing, a video will pop up on the screen, and it'll show you your total distance, your carry distance, your club head speed, your ball speed. It'll also show you a little video of your club face. So if my hand is here at the ball, you see if your club face is, square or open or closed.
Yep.
And you'll see where on the face you hit the ball, if it's on like the toe or on the heel. And yeah, that's basically it. And then it'll also tell you, so if you're coming outside in, it'll tell you how far like outside in you're coming, or how inside out you're coming out.
Holy cow.
So it's lots of data. And, if you're trying to get your game dialed in this winter to say, hey, I want to hit my pitching wedge, how far can I hit it? How far can I hit my 7-iron and all the way down? So you can manage those, and you can see, basically, you'll see the ball flight and everything. You'll know exact distance for your clubs.
Okay.
So when you're out there playing in the spring, I'm at 175. I hit my 6-iron, boom.
Yeah. And do they ever tell you how accurate the machine is? Does it say, hey, it's about 95% accurate, or 99%? Or does it, when you bought the machine, did it say, it's this accurate at all? Or?
Well, they claim that this is the most accurate one out there. And ours is the Apogee Launch Monitor.
Okay.
By True Golf. And basically, I'd hit on some simulators before but not to the in-depth that I have done it now. Right. I'm out there almost every day hitting golf balls. And,
sure.
You know, I play in a Monday night men's league at the Bridges, and when I'm out there playing, I mean, the data is, like, quite accurate.
Okay.
Like, if I know that, you know, on the 10th hole, it's 120 yards to the green on number 10 there, I pull out my pitching wedge, and I'm, you know, pin high, or you know, if I just know, I usually hit my pitching wedge a lot at the simulator.
Sure.
So I can dial in anywhere from 100 to 125 yards, know how hard to swing, and...
That's awesome. And I think that's a big question probably for people, because I know it was for me. How accurate are these things? And you just told me it's the most accurate one on the market, and you've actually not only taken that data, you've gone out and played at some of our local courses, and you said it matches up pretty darn close yep. to how I'm hitting indoor compared to outdoor.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of difference. There's no wind in your swing and all that, but it does try to factor into some of the wind I remember yesterday.
Right. So there's settings on the simulator that you could actually, if you wanted to play in the gale force winds or you want to play in rain, it'll calculate all that stuff for you. So when you hit it, it won't, if you're going into the wind, it won't go as far.
Sure.
Or if you can also can change it. So if you, there's different elevation changes. Mm-hmm. So if you want to play at a mile high, you know, or above 10,000 feet elevation, like you play in the mountains of Colorado somewhere, yeah. It'll take that into effect, hit the bar further, like you do in, you know, Colorado or sure. Utah playing golf.
Have you played, I'm assuming you have, obviously, you played in Colorado in person, right?
I have. Okay. Yep. So I used to work, so backstory here. So in Arizona, fresh out of college, I was working at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona. So I worked at Greyhawk, and I worked at the Foothills Golf Club in Phoenix area. So I worked at Greyhawk for 3 years, which is one of the nice prestige courses in Scottsdale. And one summer I was able to do an internship, and I went up and worked at Cherry Hills Country Club in Phoenix, or in Denver,
okay.
which is where the Broncos owner and all the, you know, big wigs sure. of Colorado, you know, play and are members at. And Cherry Hills is hosted U.S. Opens and all that stuff. So I played golf in Colorado.
Okay.
And when I was just out there this last week with my visiting my parents. So they live in Windsor, Colorado, and there's a new course out there that just opened up. It's called Rain Dance National, and its claim to fame is it's the longest course in North America.
Really?
And well, technically the second longest in the entire world.
Wow.
At 8,400 yards.
Okay. We just talked.
But I haven't played that one yet. So
you haven't played that one.
I wanted to play it this weekend, but I was there for a wedding and family time, so yeah. I wasn't able to get away. But
my buddy and I were talking about that on one of the podcasts. We were talking about how long I think the Masters were, and I think it's like maybe just under 8,000 yards. But that one you said is the...
Right. This is their claim to fame. It's the longest course in America.
Okay.
And the second longest in all of the world. There's like one, I think there's one in Australia that's like 17,000 feet or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Okay, wow.
I think one hole is like super long. You have to have a helicopter kind of get you to...
the helicopter to yeah. it. Now, when you have played in Colorado, do you notice your ball going further?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're up 5,000 feet, 5,280 is the
yeah.
elevation for a mile high. And yeah, it's your ball travels a full club usually. A little bit.
Really? A yeah. full club? Okay, I mean, that was more than I was expecting. I was expecting, well, yeah, it goes maybe another 5 or 10 yards, maybe at yeah. most, you know. I wasn't thinking a whole nother club, because sometimes a club for me could be, you know, 20-plus yards sometimes, yeah. depending on how I hit it, obviously. But
maybe
that
a
is...
Club, maybe a full club is, you know, a little bit generous, but, you know, yeah, it seems like that way when you're up there and you're hitting your first shot, and it's, oh, my God, that went a lot further than I thought it was going to go.
So how did your drives feel then when you're in
yeah,
Colorado?
Yeah, really muscle up, and it's like, man, 400 yards? I mean, I can't hit that far, but... But it feels like that when you're yeah. up in Colorado.
So the golf simulator does all that then. It factors in all those things.
Yeah, you can change the elevation. You can change the wind. You can change the cloudy day or a rainy day.
So would you consider the simulator that you have even more accurate than maybe places that try to fit you for clubs then? Or are they the same?
No, ones? I think all those simulators are, you know, everyone claims that they're like the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I have a good one. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, going to get fitted for clubs, I mean, you want to get fitted and hit the right clubs. So they're all different. They're all different simulators, but they all have the same functions and can tell you the same data. I think it's just a matter of, you know, price and what what works best for you. Because some of the ones that when you're getting fitted for clubs are like the TrackMan or the ones that are kind of on the ground, either right behind you or off to the in front of you, or, you know, depending on if you're left or right, you know,
sure.
moved around.
Yeah. But, so this one tracks from above you. Is that correct? Yeah. Because I noticed there was a little green circle and he said, just put your ball in there. It'll recognize your ball's in there and then you're good to go. So now when you were doing your research on this, when you got it, did you know exactly how to operate these, or was this the first time you'd ever messed with a golf simulator in your life?
Pretty much the first time I've ever really messed with it. And it's like, I went gung-ho and went for it.
So. Sure. Did someone did they give you some tutorials? Did someone come in and show you how to use it?
Nope. I mean, they have a support system, and they see if I need any help. But, I mean, I'm not sure if you messed around with it too much on the screen, but it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's all touchscreen.
Everything's touchscreen and everything. It's pretty simple.
To
work it. I mean, the first time in there, you're going to kind of, wonder, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I've had golfers that have been there before and come in and, I'll stand back in the distance and kind of watch and make sure they're able to get in okay. But for the most part, they're able to get on and log in themselves and be able to find the course they want. One of the
things that was most interesting to me is you said you hit straight, but you can move where you want your line to go. So obviously, when you're golfing at a location in person, you would aim your body towards where you want the ball to go. But on this one, you always aim straight. But then on the screen, you can put it to wherever you want your actual aim to be, and then you just try to hit it right there.
Right.
And that was weird to me at first, because I'm sitting there wanting to line my body up, knowing I want to go a little bit to the right there, and I'm like, nope, I got to remember, I just got to hit it straight at the screen. Even when I was doing the putting portion, which I want to get to, same thing, I wanted to aim my body one way, and I had to remember, no, just aim straight, because you've already put your calculations into where you want to actually hit.
Right. I mean, so our screens are 15 feet wide from corner to top corner. They don't want you aiming for the small corners of the screen,
Right.
So just so the bounce back and everything, they want you to hit in the middle of the screen.
Yep.
So it's just really easy to drag and point to wherever you want to go. But yeah, it's a little bit different than playing outside, like you said, because you're, outside, you're switching to where aiming to where you want to go. But here, you just move it on the screen, and then you're pretty much hitting straight.
Yep.
Where it's going, and if you. Yeah, my little trick for lining up, there's the center piece of grass I had. There is a little, space there, line right there. So that's my lineup line.
Okay.
So I know, hey, I'm square to the ball and facing my target. So
one of the things was the putting, and I knew that was my first question about like, how the heck do you putt on one of these? And you told me there's a few different settings that you can put on there, where you can have gimmies if you're so close, and then there was other options. What were some of the options that were available for when you get onto the green?
Yep. So once you get on the green, there's a computer decides. So as soon as you're on the green, not the fringe, like we were on the fringe a couple times yesterday, we still had to hit the ball. But there's computer decides. So once you hit it on the green, the computer will decide based on how well you're playing or how far away you are from the hole. Say you're like 30 feet from the hole. It could be a one putt, two putt, three putt, four putt. So the computer will decide for you.
Sure.
The other option is the player just puts it out. Like you're playing, you putt all the way until the ball's in the hole. And then there's also the gimmies inside 5 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet.
Oh, it goes all the way out to that far. Okay.
Yep. And then there's also player decides. So you get on the green, then you and your, you or whoever you're playing with can decide, okay, this is a one putt, two putt, three putt. And a little screen pops up and says, it gives you numbers 1 through 10. And all you have to do is touch what you think it would, how many strokes it would take to get into the hole from there.
Sure. That would be just going based off of yesterday, it would be tough to putt all of them because we had that one green where we struggled with.
Yeah.
We didn't really realize on how much of a crown it was. And you kept chipping and you went and it come back. You chipped up, you went over, and you put it back and it came down. And that
was almost like the eighth hole with the bridges, where you hit it on the front left or front side there. And if you don't hit it far enough, you're rolling back down to
the fringe,
20, 30 yards past the hole or off the green.
So that was pretty accurate, and it was pretty interesting to see that. So what we did yesterday was inside 10, it was just a gimme on the next one. So you get on, you get within 10 feet, you get the next putt. So that was kind of interesting. And the way that you the business goes is you can rent it per hour. Is that correct?
Yep, you can rent it per hour. And for the putting purposes, if you want to play more holes or make it go a little bit faster, the option to probably go with is the computer decides. So you're not trying to spend a lot of your time, putting.
Yeah.
Because obviously putting on a simulator is a lot different than putting, on the green outside.
Correct.
Yeah, so it goes a little faster. You can't get a whole lot more in, but you can get, a few more holes in that way.
Sure.
But, you rent by the hour. up to, say you brought six players with you. It's not per hour per player. It's just per hour for the six of you or for the four of you.
Sure.
So divided by, you know, whatever, it's like $5 or $10 bucks a person, depending on what our rates are. And our rates are pretty much like, you know, any golf course out there where you have spring rates, summer rates, winter rates.
Okay. Well, now, like a question then. Do the rates in the winter get a little bit more aggressive since there's no courses open? And then the summer months are a little lighter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just like Arizona. So working in the golf business in Arizona, your summer rates in the middle of summer when it's 115 degrees, no one wants to be outside. So the rates are, you know, $30, $50 for a round. But in the wintertime out there, it's $250 to play the course I worked at in Arizona.
Whoa.
In the wintertime. So obviously my rates aren't that high. but the rates right now, they're going to switch over in November 1st. But right now we're $30 Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And then $40 an hour Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
And we're going to switch. It's going to go up $10. It's going to be $40 during the week. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be $50. Oh, okay. And then come January 1st, it'll be $50 and $60.
Sure.
So $60 still will be pretty good.
That's still.
And if you bring six players, then that's $10 a pop for you guys to play, you know, an
that's
hour
easy.
Golf or whatever. So.
And there's no cart fee.
No cart fee. Nope. You can bring your own beer. You could, you know, come have some fun.
Yeah. Now the one thing on the simulator that I noticed, and I was wondering about it. I go, how does it calculate when you're in the rough? Because obviously there's no rough in front of you. There's no sand in front of you. And you showed me there was some meter on the bottom. What was that meter? It showed about
the
power.
Yeah, so it was like a power meter.
Yeah.
You know, some of the nicer, fancier simulators have, you know, the base tilts depending on your where you are on the ground, if you're on a hill or not. Or if you're in rough, then there's different kinds of mats you can hit off of that's like thicker mat grass.
Yep.
There's other grass for sand traps. So it's, you know, ours isn't, you know, that fancy, but so it's just the power level will go down a little bit. So you have to swing a little bit harder, especially if you're in the sand trap.
Mm-hmm.
So and take instead of like a normal, say, 50-yard shot from a sand trap, maybe 75 or, you know, 60 or 5.
Okay.
Just a little bit extra, depending on what the power level is on there.
Yeah, so there was a little power bar for those who are listening, and it showed you how much extra power you'd have to put on to it based on where your lie was outside of the fairway, obviously. So if you're in the sand, it showed that your power wouldn't be as much, so you got to club up, and that gives you the idea.
Right, yeah.
Rather than having something else to hit off of, like you said, I'm sure those are like the $100,000 ones where it tilts and you have different grass and all that. So,
yeah.
But I mean, the idea of this whole situation is just to keep your swing going throughout the winter months. So when it's spring, March, April, whenever it gets nice around here, you're just ready to go on the real course.
Yep. Doesn't take you much to get warmed up. You've already been warmed up hitting your swings. And
I thought I was going to be pretty sore today, actually. That was one thing I told you yesterday. I said, I might be pretty sore because I haven't played in about a month and a half, maybe.
Yep.
And I was like, I might be a little sore. And I'm not too bad right now. I mean, we played about 12 or 13 holes, I think. So we didn't play a full 18. But obviously the stress of having to walk around, do all that kind of stuff wasn't there because you just kind of walk back to your seat, wait, and then you take your turn and you go, and it's pretty simple.
And you don't have to come, you know, every week or every month. You can come just a couple of times between now and then, just something to keep your swing going.
Sure.
And, you know, the one benefit of playing golf in a simulator, you play with one ball and you don't lose it.
That was right. Unless you said, unless you take the wedge and you hit it up and over and hits the Fred's Body Shop sign.
But we have my sons that can probably go chase it for him. And,
sure.
You know, I got caddies that can help with that.
So I want to go over the business side of this. Now, we talked about the simulator, but the business side of the whole situation. You talked about, obviously, the reason you like this is because of the fact that you kept your swing going throughout the winter. You weren't rusty when you came out in the spring. But then how does the business model work? You're talking a little bit per hour. That's how that works. But are there other avenues of revenue that you think that might possibly come in the future? Because you did say that you can bring your own beer in, and I don't know. Right. I'm sure you have to get a liquor license if you wanted to have.
Yeah, if
beer.
I wanted to have a bar, I would. Yeah, definitely get a liquor license.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, opposed to the idea, but I mean that's more money that I have to come up with.
Sure.
To be able to create a bar and get the license and.
Okay.
Serve food. A couple of people have asked, are you going to get a liquor license? Are you going to serve food? I mean, maybe down the road. But right now, if this model works, then we'll kind of go with it. And
sure.
But yeah, like now we do have snacks, some light refreshments like the Coke, Diet Coke, you know, Arnold Palmer's.
Yeah.
Some snack food, chips, crackers, cookies, that kind of stuff that people can purchase. Not very expensive, but, you know.
So you're just taking it step by step then, basically.
Yep.
See how this goes, and then maybe if this goes great, get a liquor license, because I'm sure a liquor license is not cheap.
Yeah.
I'm assuming so. I don't know. I don't have one. I don't claim to know what one would cost, but then obviously if you want food, it's probably another license.
Yeah.
Depending on what you do. But to be honest with you, a place like that probably only needs beer and snacks is really all it needs. Most of the people that are coming in there, I'm going to say most people are probably guys, but I'm sure you have some women that come in there too.
Yeah, there's been a couple of women, And like my goal list, I have leagues. Well, I have a league right now.
Yep.
But then I also want to get a ladies' night, or I want to get a couples' night.
Yeah.
I was talking to some guys last night that was there hitting some ball or playing their league round. Maybe doing like a scramble tournament, like do like 1 week, just do like a scramble tournament where I set up a tournament that's similar to the way I set up a league, but just do like one or two nights where they can come in anytime during the week to play their scramble round.
Sure.
And at the end of the week, whoever has got the lowest score, just kind of go from there.
Yeah. So now you just talked about this. You have leagues and you've been doing leagues. How many do you do them throughout the whole entire year, or do you just do them in the winter months, or how does it work?
So I started in the spring, January, and had a league in January. It was obviously it was still new and word hadn't gotten out yet. There was a lot of indoor golf simulator business there. So I only had four teams. It was, I think, similar to this one, 8 weeks long.
Okay.
And then took the summer off because, I knew that going into this, I knew that the summer wasn't going to be people outside playing golf. I wanted to play outside golf, too. I played in the men's league, like I said, mentioned earlier, too. So I knew that the summer wasn't really slow, so I wasn't going to bother trying to have a league in the summertime.
Yeah.
But then now that it's getting about to get cold again and winter's coming, got my league started right now.
Okay.
We're in our first week, just started yesterday. Yep. And I have nine teams right now, too, so doubled last week, or doubled last league. So if I can keep on that rate, then I'll be happy with that.
That's great. And so if you want to get into the league, how does it work? Do you still pay your hourly fee plus – is there a league fee, I assume?
So, yeah, $50 league fee for those who are interested, and it goes towards prizes. And then if anyone – after that, it's you book it by your hour. So typically, like we talked about earlier, it's – 1 hour for twosome to play nine holes. So our league is just a nine-hole round, similar to what the men's league is at the Bridges, nine holes. So it should take about an hour, roughly an hour and 5 minutes, 10 minutes to play your 1 hour of golf or your nine holes of golf. So you just pay by the hour for those. Book your times online.
Sure.
Yep.
And then if you're you call in and make a tee time?
So you do make a tee times, but all my bookings are done online. If people want to call in, they can call me and book it. But the easiest way to do it, to see what's available, is to go on our website, which is islandcitygolfgarage.com.
Okay.
And right there on the front page is book online. Click on book online, and it'll take you to our tee system.
Okay.
Our tee time system.
That's awesome.
And you'll see what times are available. And you just click on the time you want, and it'll pop up in their window. Says, how long do you want to play for? Basically, fill out your information. And it's through Square.
Oh, okay.
Everything you do on there, it'll send you a text message afterwards, say you've completed, reserved your time, and this is your time.
That's pretty slick.
So it is pretty cool.
Very efficient, I assume.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So so someone could just book it all day if they want to. No big deal.
If they wanted to, yeah.
If they want to.
Yep. And if they want to book a party, like I said, we had a party the other day.
Yep.
If they want to book a party, they can certainly reach out to me and message me on Facebook or email me and say, hey, we want to have a work party or a birthday party.
Sure.
Here. And
is there discounted rates for that, or do you just pay the
five? Well, if I have to reserve the whole, if I have to block off both simulator times and allow the mm-hmm. space for the rent, or to rent the space out.
Yep.
And, we have cornhole games. We have the foosball table they can play.
Oh, so you have other games there, too.
Other things there, too.
Oh.
Other yard games type stuff.
Oh, so for people who are listening, it's not just the golf simulator. There's some cornhole. There's some foosball. There's a putting green, which is pretty neat as well. You just kind of do your own thing. Yeah. And
it's not the fanciest putting green, but, at some point I was hoping to, expand to have a nicer, bigger,
more in due time, in due time,
yep.
For sure. Yeah, this is just such a cool idea in this area because I don't think we've ever had one. We've had mini golf around here, but that's only good, again, in the months when it's not snowy out.
Right.
So that's another question. Is there a mini golf simulator?
So there are such simulators. I didn't really show you this yesterday, but there's options to play games on there.
Okay.
So on the main screen, there's the play golf. There's the practice. Yep. So you can go to the driving range. You can do in the driving range piece. You can pick your backdrop for your driving range if you want like a cityscape with big huge greens, or a mountainous background with tiny little greens, or you can do chipping and putting. Or you can do chipping, so they have different various yardages. So 75 yards, 50 yards, 25 yards, chipping over a tree or over like a bush or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work on your game that way too. And there's cool. also games. So some of the games that a couple of guys were playing yesterday also or on Sunday was Battleship. Mm. So there's
Sounds
battleships
fun.
And submarines that float across the water, and it's like target practice with your golf clubs and your golf ball. You know how you're at the driving range
yeah.
and the picker is going by and you're trying
of
to
course everyone tries to hit
so
that.
So you're trying to blow up these ships and these submarines, and you're trying to sink them and get points.
Sure.
So it's on a timer, a 5-minute timer for the game, and you're getting points, and you're out there having fun,
yeah,
blowing stuff up. And then the games, there's also darts, you know, 301. So each target has a certain point value.
Oh.
So you're trying to, like, darts. You're trying to get down to zero from 301.
I didn't realize all that
so,
was
yeah,
on
there's
there.
Tons of games on there that you can play.
Sure. So if I book off a time, then
you can use that for any time.
Full. I just have full reign of whatever
of the
I want
simulators.
To do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do with the simulators. You want to go in there, just hit driving range to work on your irons. To
yeah.
know how far the distance is for those. Or play around the golf or play games. I mean, you can do
whatever. It's just
yep.
yours for your hour.
Yep.
You do what
Pretty
you
much.
Want to do, basically, other than ruin the place.
Yeah.
you do that.
Yeah. Either myself or my boys will be there to help you walk through how to find those things, those games, or
yeah.
whatever you want to do. And
are your sons on staff then?
Yeah, they're on the small little payroll.
A small little payroll. That's great. And now the other thing I had another question about, and I think a lot of people are going to have a question about this, is how many courses come with this simulator? Is there?
So right now we have over 100 courses to choose from.
Holy cow, 100?
Yep. So we
plus
have
all the games.
Plus all the games.
Okay.
Plus driving range options. Yep.
Yeah. What? Okay. I'm sure most people are going to ask, do you have Augusta?
No, we do not have Augusta. We do not have Pebble Beach, and we don't have St. Andrews. Like
okay.
those are the three that are, you know, the most popular, and obviously,
sure.
you know, people ask about it, but.
What would be, do you think, what's your most popular course do you think that most people like to play on the yours?
So I like to advertise that when there's, you know, the golf tournaments, the PGA tournaments are happening, and you can watch them on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had Kapalua, which is the course in Hawaii, the famous plantation course, that where they play tournaments on there. I'll take another
sure.
one too, I guess.
Yeah. Somewhere. Help yourself. There's six of them. You take what you want. Nothing like a new Glarus.
Yep.
Spotted cow. Yeah, you were telling me about the one
so,
in Hawaii.
Yeah, there's the one in Hawaii, Bay Hill, which is the Arnold Palmer's course.
Okay.
That's another popular one. Torrey Pines is a good one in San Diego, California.
Okay.
That's a popular one. But, I mean, we have lots of courses. Courses in Arizona, True North, which is a nice course in Scottsdale. That one, I played that one before, so.
Do you have any local courses?
No local courses.
Okay, so they're just usually the major courses around.
Yeah, the big popular courses, or not all the big ones, but also some small name courses that are out there. That
okay.
We have course. There's a course in Norway. There's a course in part of our league rounds this season. We got a course in South Korea, and a course in Norway, and then where else? And the other ones here in the States.
Sure. Oh, so you have worldwide courses.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's really neat then.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to get to those places to play those courses. So
right.
best you can do is this, I suppose.
Right. Well, Royal Troon is another one. They played the British Open there this last year. So we have that one.
Oh, cool.
So I like to say, you know, I like to post on Facebook that, hey, if you're playing, want to play with the pros play, they're playing Royal Troon this weekend for the British Open. Come by and check out and play the course while they're playing it.
That's awesome. I'm assuming you know that there are Minnesota courses on there?
I don't think so. Like Hazeltine, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, that'd be one of the
yeah.
big ones on
yeah.
there.
No, that one's not on there.
Okay. I'm just wondering because the people that listen to this are probably going to be more local people. So they're probably wondering,
right.
are there any Minnesota ones? Hazeltine being the big one, I
right.
suppose. Which one is your favorite that you like to play on there? Do you have a specific one that you like?
I'm trying to play. My goal is to play all of them at some point in time.
Okay.
So, I mean, I haven't gotten that far yet. But
what do you think you're up to?
Not very far. I usually go and hit balls before warm up before I go play.
Okay.
Outside, you know, at the bridges. But,
sure.
But yeah, my goal is to get through all of them and play all of them.
Okay.
But I mean, Kapalua is a nice one because it's Hawaii and it looks nice shooting
yeah.
at the ocean. And
oh, I bet. I've been to Hawaii. It's beautiful.
Yeah, especially when it's cold outside and it's, you know, below zero here. And
crank
you're
the heater up
at Hawaii. Yep. And I got the heater to prove it.
Yeah. crank the heater up.
I just need some sand. Do you know where I get some sand to put in there?
That in ocean water I do not have.
Yeah, okay.
Just go over to Latch Island and grab some sand. So, so you have over 100 courses to choose from. And you come in, you can just choose any one of them you want. But then during league, you play certain ones. Is that correct?
Right, yep. For league, I picked out all the 8 courses ahead of time.
Okay, so it's 8 weeks long, is that correct?
8 weeks long.
Okay.
So 8 courses, and our league opened on Monday. So there's still room to get in if you want to, because our league is set up where it's not on one particular night where you're playing golf, whereas the Bridges or Westfield, it's like one Wednesday night or Monday night you're playing league night.
Specific nights.
Yeah, so here it's the league opens on Monday, and that course is open until Sunday.
Okay.
So you have until Sunday, the end of business days or business time, to play year round.
Okay.
And then on Monday, the next course will open up.
Sure.
And you'll play the next course and have that till Sunday to play. So you can come in anytime, day that works for you, and
that's really convenient for those who have busy schedules, especially.
Yep.
So now you said you have, is it in team format?
Yeah, it's 2-person teams.
Okay.
So they just play 9 holes, and at the end of the season, they'll calculate the software we use will calculate a handicap for them. And so, say like you and I are on a team, and we both shot 45, but my handicap's a 6 and yours is a 4. You know, we'll just subtract the handicap and calculate an 18-hole score for us.
Okay.
So say we shot 68, and the other team shot 69. So at the end of the 8 weeks, I'll just tally up those up.
Sure.
And then whoever has the lowest score, that's your winner.
Okay. So is this the second league you've done so far now?
Yeah.
So last spring was your first one.
Right.
So what was the prize then? Did you come up with a prize, or was it a money prize? Or?
So the buy-in was only $25 for that one, so I didn't have a big, huge prize fund. But I think I gave away the winners got a free round of golf to come back and play anytime they want. And then golf balls and other random stuff. So.
Sure. Just like a regular one, kind of.
Yeah.
Because, normally, the other question I got now that I'm thinking about it, was there any like long drive contests?
So after the season was over, I hosted everybody back at the golf garage for a party.
Okay.
I bought everyone pizza and had some beer out
there. Oh, that's awesome.
So they brought beer. And then we played a little scramble tournament with everyone there, so we broke them off into teams. There's only 4 teams, so there was 8 of us.
Sure.
8 of them playing. So I paired them up and said, all right, it's a little scramble tournament. And then after that was over, then we had a long drive contest, and then close to the pin contest just for fun, because we can do that on the under the game mode also.
That's
you can
cool.
pull up close to the pin or longest drive.
Yeah.
You can pick whatever hole, par 3 hole you want on the golf course, and we can put it up there and pick the tee box, so whatever number or yardage you want on there.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, this is so innovative. It blows my mind, because I've never golfed. Maybe it's because I've never golfed a simulator. That's probably why. The most I've ever done, and the reason why I was there yesterday, is because you heard on my previous podcast that I've never been to a golf simulator other than testing for clubs, basically,
right.
Which is just usually a driving range is all it is, just to see how the drives go, the irons go, your accuracy and stuff like that. But playing at one's awesome, because you have to factor into a couple things of, okay, the fairway's here, there's a downslope, there's an upslope, there's a little bit of wind possibly on there. It really calculates a ton of things, so you're actually almost playing for real. But, I mean, keeping your swing going throughout the year is significantly helpful, because I know what it's like playing softball. Mm-hmm. You come in first, 2 weeks, your midsection is just literally sore from swinging a bat.
Yeah.
And this just keeps you going and going while you can still have some fun and playing in a league for a league buy-in fee. And then you go there with your partner and it's, maybe $40 an hour or whatever it might be at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, most people spend $20 not even thinking about it. And you could do this for an hour with a buddy and just go hang out for an hour and do this, bring in some beer, have some fun, just like you're on a regular course.
Yep.
So is there any, you trying to get cart girls in there at all or no?
I'll work on that maybe. Yeah, sure.
Get some cart girls in there. Yeah, I really love the idea of it. Do you find it hard to heat the place at all, or is it pretty easy?
Pretty easy, and it's not like super expensive. I don't remember what the what the cost was last year or in January, but I mean, I keep it kind of low, because once you get swinging, you don't need to be super warm in there.
Right, yeah.
In the 60s, and you're pretty good.
Yep,
as long as it doesn't freeze and get cold in there.
I was starting to break a little sweat yesterday after about 12 or 13 holes. I was already
kind
of like, I'm about to break a sweat, because I usually do. I'm pretty easily, I easy sweat, so it's really no big deal there. So now, what other things is there any other plans that you have going forward with this that you want to improve? Or is there any things you said, hey, that didn't work out as well as I thought it was going to be, so I'm going to try that maybe?
Well, I mean, the league thing is always a work in progress. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll see how this one goes, and if you know, I'm open to suggestions on tweaking things if need be. One thing I want to do too is my hours right now aren't like the best. I mean, we're 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then Saturday to Sunday 9 to 9. So I'm toying with the idea of having a membership and having like a remote lock system.
Oh, okay.
So you buy into our membership, and then I'll be open. My hours for members can be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
And then if you book a time, you get a discounted rate. And then when you book a time, the remote lock system works with the software system we have.
Oh.
And so it'll send you a text message like 10 minutes before your tee time to let you unlock the door.
Oh.
So you can go in and play by yourself if you know, if it's during hours I'm not around.
That's a great idea. I don't know what the cost of that is, but I know gyms have it, obviously.
Yep.
I go to the Y, I have my 24-hour one, so if I go off hours, door unlocks for me. I have my access. So that would be a fantastic idea because, like you said, you're kind of limited on your hours currently.
Yep.
And it's not your full-time job. This is
right. I want it to be my first, my full-time job. So
yeah, that would be great.
Yep. And so I want to be able to, you know, to accommodate more golfers. And I know some people don't work during the day; they work evenings or whatever, and want to be able to play during, you know, the early hours of the day.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if I would do it where it's full access 24/7. Just, you know, kind of keep it like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. where I know like I'm awake, or if something was to happen, I can swing over or have someone swing over to, you know, troubleshoot any issues. But
does it ever, do you ever have any, I mean, obviously it's technology. Is there ever any issues that happen with the golf simulator? Does it run on the internet? And
yep, it's all Wi-Fi. So we have a strong Wi-Fi system right there that kind of helps that. And yeah, every once in a while, there's some trouble, there's some issues that arise.
Sure.
Software gets updated. So we have to update the system every, you know, month or two, every couple months. And then with that, I have to like recalibrate the launch monitor.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to do. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like kind of shell-shocked. Oh my God, how do I do that? How am I going to be able to do that? But, you know, after doing it a couple times, it's pretty easy. And
yeah.
So.
Well, I feel like that would be my biggest nervous thing. I'm out of town or I can't be there, and all of a sudden it goes offline, because I know just when I was in Arizona, XL shut down.
Yeah.
And I know most of the time the Wi-Fi comes right back up. It boots itself up. But you got someone there paying possibly per hour. Well, I guess they would have a membership, so they have access. So if it goes down, they have time. They can wait, I guess, if necessary. But, yeah, that would be my biggest fear, is it goes offline and, uh-oh, now what?
Right.
And I'm not available to go and do it. So that would be my biggest thing, but it would be an amazing thing if you had, like, a 24-hour – or not 24-hour, but, you know, those
more access hours.
More access. Sure. Yep. That'd be really fun because, like you said, some people like to go early in the morning. I'm not that guy. I'd be the guy that'd be like, hey, open up at midnight and I'm there. But I'm not a 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. guy, but I know there would be plenty of people that probably would say – that'd be kind of fun to go swing, you know, some clubs here. And and it'd be fun just to test out some clubs while you're sitting there in those, like I said, dark months before you get out on the course and start playing some scramble tournaments. But you said that you can do a scramble tournament.
Yeah, we can do on that format. So the play golf format, you can, you can do a normal stroke play. You can do scramble. You can do the Stableford system like they use in some of those tournaments where you get points for having birdies and eagles. And
sure.
Yeah, there's tons of different options you can do, or best ball, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, and as we're winding down here on the podcast, I want to just ask you some of what's some of your favorite things that have come out of owning this business in this very short span so far? Is there something that just stands out, like, this has been awesome because of you fill in the blank?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's just meeting new people. I mean, the golf course brings people together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is kind of the same thing as a golf course, only it's inside, and it's, you know, it's much, much smaller, you know, location, but I mean, just meeting new people and meeting Winonans. I guess that's the thing, is just meeting new people and having fun.
Yeah.
And bringing my passion to them. So.
And you've only been here for, what, 5 years, you said?
5 years, yeah.
So you're new to Winona.
Yeah.
And so this is a great way to meet people, because if some, like you said, the golf course always brings people together because you're there for a mutual reason. And it's not obviously a sport where you're running, playing, doing all these things. It's more of a, I wouldn't say a leisure sport, because some people say golf's not a sport. I think otherwise, because I played it in college for 1 year. I'm like, no, if you're competitive about it, it's a sport. But it's also one where there's some downtime to get to know other people around there. And actually a pretty good place to network. I walked in there yesterday, knew one of the guys that was already playing. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a couple of years because I played softball with them.
Yep.
So it is a really cool thing that now you're getting to meet some people in Winona here as well.
Right.
So if people want to find you, you kind of talked about the website. What was it?
So islandcitygolfgarage.com. Okay. And they also have a Facebook page, Island City Golf Garage.
Sure.
And an Instagram page.
And if anybody's looking for those, I'll put those in the show notes. So if you're on Apple or Spotify, just go down. You'll be able to click on it, and it'll take you right to it. And if you're on YouTube, same thing. Just go down and click on it. It'll take you right to the website and or their Facebook page as well. So that's a way to find it. You can go on and make tee times, which is even better.
Yep.
Can you pay online, too?
Pay online, too. So you book your time, you pay online. And then if I am not there, so I get a notification on my phone that says, hey, so-and-so booked a time, so I know I need to be there and open it up for him. So,
sure.
Yeah, you pay online. Or if it doesn't work and you want to just call me and say my hours are 5 to 9 p.m. and you want to call and say, hey, can I come over and play a round of golf? I'll say, yep, come on over. We're open. And we can pay it right there at the counter, too.
Awesome. Can people pay cash, too, if they need
pay
to?
Pay cash or they can pay a credit card. I have the Square system. So there's a lot of businesses that use Square, and it's pretty simple. You just get a text message for your receipt. And
that's awesome. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Boy, this is something that people – you need to go check it out because I was there – yesterday, and it was something else. I didn't know what to expect because, again, like I said, the last golf simulator I've done, just testing out clubs at a golf place. This is different because you get to play. And to me, the hardest thing I had yesterday was putting. Putting was my hardest. Second hardest was chipping. That was the hardest things I had trouble with. The iron shots and the drives I had no problem with. The weird thing was not having the grass in front of you that I can just tell depth perception. I had the screen. That was my hardest thing for me to get down. And I think once you play more and more and more,
because
I watched you, you walked up and you take your putter and you just knew what to do.
Yeah.
So I think that this is really cool. It's awesome for the Winona community to go off and do, especially in these crappy months, because we're about to get there. I know today it's October 22nd right now. It's 72 degrees out, so we're not thinking about it, but probably in a couple of weeks, we're going to be like, oh, I kind of miss golfing.
Right.
And you have a place now in Winona. And what's the location anyways of the place?
So it's 1238 Breezy Lane. So if it's right behind Winona Rental.
Okay. 1238 Breezy Lane here in Winona, right behind Winona Rentals. For those who are local, go there and check it out. Spend an hour there. I mean, we've spent money in weirder ways than going there with a buddy or even four buddies, I guess, all going there and spending maybe 10, 15 bucks a pop and go out there and have some fun, swing some clubs, play a course you'd never played. But I think it's an amazing place to go and check out. So is there anything else you'd like to add, plug for the Island City Golf Garage?
I think I'm good. I think we pretty much answered all the questions, I hope. And if people have questions, always shoot me a message on Facebook or shoot me an email, give me a call, whatever. I'm here to help.
Perfect. Yeah, and again, for those who are listening, in the show notes, you'll notice there'll be a link down there if you want to go to the Golf Garage's website or their Facebook page. John is the guy to get a hold of. He's the owner. If you want to book a tee time, go there and check it out. Go click on those links below. Otherwise, this has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. I want to thank John again for coming on in, taking a little bit of his time out because I think you're going back to the shop right now.
Yep, got to go back to work.
He's going back to work to go golf.
Right.
Can't hardly call that work, can you? Especially when you love it. But
well, a bad day of golf beats a good day at the office, right?
I've heard that quote before.
Right.
So again, this has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. You can find me on any streaming platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, you name it, I'm out there. But if you want to see our beautiful faces, go on YouTube. You can watch this as well. This has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. Cheers.
Thank you.